This is the third section for today, or the second session, the third session for this first seminar of the year. So Matthew 16 verse 15. And it says, unto them go into the world and caruso the Evangelion to every creature. Are we together? Mark 16, right? And he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And this sign shall follow. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Now they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall what? Oh, damn. Let's read the last phrase together. 1, 2, 3, go. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. 1, 2, 3, let's say again. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, we're trying to pay attention to the signs that follow. And in our first teaching today, we're trying to examine what signs primarily are. And we said signs are those things that point to events that are soon to happen or events that have happened. Are we together? And we established that signs are not the message, or sign is not the message. So the signs we see is not the message, but signs are to point you to the message. Now, we also established that signs are temporal. Are we together? Signs are temporal. They are not eternal. And that is why no matter the kind of signs and wonders that mankind has seen, yet people who have witnessed signs and wonders in years past, 100 years past, they are not alive today. 200 past years ago, they are not alive today. And people who Moses fed in the wilderness are not alive today. People who looked at the serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness are not alive today. People who Jesus healed are not alive today. People who Paul healed are not alive today. Yet, what all those things point to is the message of the gospel. They are all signs and wonders. And signs are pointers to the message that is to be believed. Say signs. Say signs are pointers to the message that is to be believed. Now, we started looking at Isaiah 53 just before we rounded up the first session, and we're able to see that Isaiah started his book in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, with an opening parable speaking about the sinful nature and iniquity nature of the people, and used the parable of sickness to qualify it. Now, he now says that we are healed from our sicknesses. Now, the healing we've received is the healing that cures the parable of the sores that are on the body of people, which is figurative for the sinful nature of the people. Now, it's interesting to know that really the word sickness for Isaiah was not absolutely used all through the book of Isaiah for spiritual or parables. Are we together? You know, but fundamentally, when you look at the overall context, it now begins to make sense. That's why you now see in Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as what, red as crimson, they shall be as white as what? Snow. It now tells you in Isaiah 54, it says, who had believed our reports? Are we together? Who had believed our reports? Yeah, who had believed that report? So the goal of Isaiah is that man is to believe a report. Remember, signs is so that man will believe a report. Right? So man is to believe a report when they see signs. So Moses will operate in the supernatural, and they will see signs and wonders, and they are pointers towards a supernatural, more eternal reality, which actually is summarizing the message of the gospel. Now look at Matthew 8, verse 16. Matthew 8, verse 16. Are you there? If you are there, say, I'm here. Yeah. Look at Matthew 8, verse 16. It says, when the evening was come, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with what? Devils. And he cast out the spirit with his words, and he healed all that were sick. Are we together? He cast out the devils, or he casted them that were possessed with the devils, and healed all that were sick. Are we together? So it means that predominantly in Jesus' ministry, you see the healing of sick and the casting out of what? Devils. Now, remember, those are signs. So it means that the healing of sick will be as much of a sign as casting out of devils. Are we together? So what does the healing of the sick point to as a sign? The message of the gospel. What the casting out of devil points to as a sign? The message of the gospel. The same message. altogether. So the signs of the casting out of devils and the signs of the healing of the sick, they all point to the what? The healing of the heart. That is the healing of sickness. Or the healing of a sinful nature, that is iniquity, from Isaiah 1. Are we together? Now look at verse 17. It now says, that it may be fulfilled, that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Are we together? That it may be fulfilled, that it may be fulfilled, as spoken by Isaiah, that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Are we together? Now, what sickness did Isaiah tell you Jesus bore? Fundamentally, the sickness of a sinful nature. Are we together? So, what sickness and infirmity did Jesus bear on his body? Not malaria. You get that? Not malaria, because what Jesus will supply has to be eternal. So it will only be malaria, listen to me everyone, it will only be malaria that Jesus took on his body if everybody that is healed of malaria will never die again. Will never even get sick again. Are we together? Yeah, so it means that did he bear sickness on his body? Yes, he did. Did he bear infirmities on his body? Yes, he did. But the truth remains that it cannot be temporary things he did, because what he did is to supply an eternal solution. Listen to me, everyone. Okay? Now, what Jesus did in the resurrection, is it eternal or temporal? So it means that everything he will bear, we have to deal with a yardstick, or we'll deal with a foundation of things eternal. Did you get that? Did you get that? So if Jesus supplies something eternal in the resurrection, it means that what he took care of are things eternal. Do you get that? Do you get that? So it's going to be that, oh, yes, in the resurrection, right, man will be able to receive something eternal. So it means that God in the resurrection is able to remove something eternal for man. You get that? God in the resurrection is able to remove something eternal for man. That is why he gives man something eternal. Altogether. So if he is going to bear sickness and infirmities on his body, it's going to be things or sickness that is eternal, which is what? Sins. Which Isaiah 1 now tells you what? The iniquities. So Matthew now tells you, he now says that it might be fulfilled as written by the prophet Isaiah, right? That he bore on his body the infirmities and the sicknesses, right? And bore our sicknesses and infirmities. Now, let's look at the phrase that it might be fulfilled. The phrase it might be fulfilled is a single Greek word, plero, in the Greek. Plero, P-L-E-R-O-O. P-L-E-R-O-O. And it's a statement usually used to connect two different events. A statement usually used to connect two different events. Or a word that means to make full or to fill up. To make full, that it might be fulfilled, is a phrase that means to fill up. So he healed the sick to fill up. You get that? Yet he healed the sick to make full. Are we together? And I remember we've established the healing of the sick will be a sign. Is that true? Let's see how that phrase is used in other verses. Look at Matthew 1:20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. I want to show you a very important example here now. Look at Matthew 1:20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of who? David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the what? Holy Ghost. Now look at what it says in verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua. That is Joshua. That is Jesus. All together. For he shall what? Is that a function? Do you see that? I just chipped that in, but that's what we're looking at. Is that a function? Yeah, so beautiful. So his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So the function of Jesus and the name of Jesus we have is with a function that deals with saving from sins. Now look at 22. Let's read 22 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now all this was done that fulfilled. Is that the same plural? it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the who? Prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? By interpretation means what? God is with us. Are we together? Right, so the angel appearing to Mary and Joseph, was that the promise? What is the promise? The promise is about the child. Altogether. But Matthew now tells you that angel appeared that it might be fulfilled. The angel appeared literally. Yeah, was it an encounter? It was an encounter, right? But is that the encounter of the prophecies of the scriptures? No. Is that a child will be born and he shall bear the sins of the world. Altogether. So it is what leads to the promise. So it means that this points to that. So the encounter of the angel is to point to the reality of the child's birth. That it might be fulfilled. Plero. It might be fulfilled. Look at Matthew, next chapter. Matthew 2:14. Matthew 2:14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be what? Fulfilled. So is the death of Herod a major deal? Not really. Yeah, not really. But that it might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord of prophets, saying, out of Egypt have I what? Called my son. Altogether. So they took Jesus to Israel for another event to happen. Look at verse 23. The same Matthew 2:23. He now says, verse 23. He now says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called what? Nazarene. So it shall be fulfilled is a statement that connects two different events. The first one we looked at is what? The event of the angel and the birth of Jesus. The second one was what? Death of Herod and what? And the birth of Jesus. The third one is what? Now just show in verse 23 now. Altogether, look at verse 23 again now. And he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. So, dwelling in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, that he shall be called what? Nazarene. Two different events. Are we here? So, it means that where we started, Matthew 8. Look at Matthew 4. Matthew 4:15. I think I'm up there. Matthew 8:16. Yeah, that's what I was supposed to go to. Matthew 8:16. Are you there? So Matthew 8:16 now tells you, remember, when the evening was come, they brought him unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits and he healed them all. Is that the first event? That it might be fulfilled. Speaks about two events. Are we together? We spoke about the angel experience and the birth of Jesus. Now we are back to where we started, Matthew 8, where he says that he healed them all. That it might be fulfilled, that he took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So what are the two events there? The healing of the sick, casting out of devils. And second event will be what? Bearing the what? Infirmities and the sicknesses of people. All together. So it means that in the real sense, yeah, so it is like one event, remember, one event will point your attention to another event. That's similar to sign, right? So it means that the healing of Jesus, healing of the sick by Jesus, casting out of devils by Jesus, is going to be a pointer to him bearing our sickness and infirmities. Think about it now. Jesus did not have to die before he healed and casted out devils. Did you get that? This is before now. Is it not before the resurrection? This is before crucifixion now. So Jesus did not have to die to heal the sick and cast out devils. So think about it this way. If the Bible is not telling you he just healed the sick, and it's telling you a prophecy is to be fulfilled, is the prophecy to be needed again? It can't be needed again now. Look at this. No, so if you think that the healing of the sickness will be physical, and it just did physical healing, there's no point for any prophecy to be fulfilled again. Except you want to now say that the sickness he will take is to take out sickness from the entire earth. Do you get that? So to be that, okay, he healed a few sick folks, but the prophecy is in the real sense for him to take out sickness from the world. You see, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Are we together? Are we together? So he healed the sick that it might be fulfilled that the prophecy of carrying sickness, are we together? The sickness that his prophecy will carry will not be the sickness he has been healing. Is it clear? You get that right? So that it might be fulfilled, we speak about two events, one pointing to the other. So the healing of sick, so it means divine healing is a pointer to spiritual healing. Let me say it real. Physical healing is a pointer to divine healing. Are we together? So whilst he will heal, at the time when he will heal all that were sick, he had not done the work that man would receive. Or man will believe for man not to be sick again, spiritually. Let me say it better for you to understand. Whilst he was healing the sick and casting out devils, he had not done the work that you and I believe in today that made us to be free from sins. You get that? So, if you believe that Jesus healed sick, can you be saved by that? So, when he says he healed the sick and cast out devils, is that what saved you? It can't be that. But he did that, that it might be fulfilled or to point your attention to what will really save you when he bears on his body sickness and infirmity. Are you here? Have you got him? Beautiful. You're following, right? So it means that our attention will be pointed to the finished work, that is the resurrection, right? By the actions of the physical healing of sickness and casting out of devils. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11:3. Look at Matthew 11 verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in all the cities. Now look at verse 2. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 disciples and said unto him, listen to this intelligent, interesting question rather, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Wait, oh, I hope you know that there's a lot happening here. John was in the prison. And interestingly, Herod's daughter wanted his head. Is that not true? Yes. They are, imagine, you, Herod's daughter dance. The father was provoked. What do you want? Name it. All together, be eaten as your inheritance. All the nations of the earth. And the choice that the daughter chose was John's head. Abby? In a charger, on a plate, right? That's what will make her happy. Raka has gone. Happy together. Yeah? So, in the reason, now, but don't lose the point. What Matthew is showing you here really is, John, having said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, still ask the disciple, okay, come, go and ask, is it really the Lamb? See, offense can make you despise what you should exalt. That's important to take note of. Offense, strife, can make you ridicule what you should exalt as the most. Offense, strife, can make you ridicule that which you should hold in the highest esteem. Offense. It was an offense. John was an offense. Why will I be in the prison? I'm the one that even marked Jesus, messenger of the message. Are we together? Now listen to what I'm about to say carefully. John takes Jesus to Jordan, dips him in water, and brings Jesus out. That's a pointer to the resurrection or to the rescue from the Red Sea. We'll look at that in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus says that there is no one that is as great as John, born of a woman. Is that true? For what did John do? Now, you know, there's no record of John's ministry that he healed the sick. No record. But yet, he says he's greater than all born of women. Why? Because the extent of... So, how do you... Remember what we've taught that Nabai... Who's Nabai? Prophets. Yeah? Prophet is God's spokesperson. So, you know, a prophet is first God's spokesperson than the supernatural. Altogether. That is why Moses now warned the people about how to know true prophets. Right? He says, even though they do the miraculous, if they tell you anything contrary to that which you've learned, hey, you know that's a false prophet. Altogether. So, John, as a prophet, now announces who Jesus is to the people. And Jesus says, you are great amongst women. Now, a few weeks, a few days, a few hours, whatever, after, John is arrested and put in the prison. And he's saying, my Lord, why thou what? Forsaking me. He said, you know what? Please, go and ask that guy that I declared. You know, remember, you were there when I said he is. You were there when he is, I am. You were there when he said I am and I said he is. You know, just go. If you're not here on Wednesday, you cannot understand that joke. Even by the Spirit of God. Yeah, so you remember that time? So meet my two disciples. Go and ask them. Go and ask him. Is he the one? Look at it now. He said, ask them. Are thou he that should come? Or are we looking for somebody else? Because even John, in his declaration of who Jesus was, he was still expecting some very mystical, do you understand, deliverance. How can I be the one to announce Jesus and I'm in prison? Who that will help? And he still called me greatest prophet too, and I'm in the prison. You see, there's a way you would approach persecution and you'll be able to, you start insulting God. That's why a very good way to know a man's doctrinal slant is when he goes through challenges. I'm not saying that's the only way to know. I just say A. Because it's then you will hear unbelievable things. Was one teaching also. Yeah? Is then you will hear unbelievable. I was talking with a pastor over the week. Yes. You know, I was talking about how members have a way of putting pressure under their putting their pastor under pressure to say what they want to hear. And I cannot agree less. And that's why I say a lot of times it looks like people want to just. People just want to be in places where what they want to hear is what they hear. Who doesn't like hearing this is your week? Even me, I like hearing it. Me, I like hearing this is your week, this is your month, this is your year. I like hearing it. Do you understand? Everybody likes to hear it. So, when you now realize that people are not having their weeks, their months, you too, you want to put someone under pressure as a pastor. Do you understand? So, in the real sense, right? So, offense can make you despise what you should hold in high esteem. He says, go and ask him. I love Jesus' answer. Look at Jesus' answer. You know, that thing could have pushed Jesus to quickly die and resurrect. I hope you know. A man that is not disciplined. Look at it now. See what that says. Jesus answered and said to him, verse 4, go and show John again those things which he what? Hear and what? See. Why did he ask them to show? Because in the real sense, those things which you hear and see are so that it might be fulfilled. So what is Jesus pointing them to? He's pointing them back to signs. Why? You know in the real sense, man wants to see sign. Man wants to see sign. That's why at the closest extent of a bombing or two countries fighting, an average believer is already looking at apocalypse. Everybody's already thinking of last day event. And for you know, people start bringing out Russia from Isaiah, they now back it up with Zephaniah. You know, it's happening. Why? People are bent on signs. Even John himself, who was the pointer of the Messiah, was looking for a sign. Is it not a sign he was looking for? No, he was signed now. Even if he was for him to leave that prison, he's still a sign. Do you understand? So, Jesus now says, go and show him. Go and tell him those things which you hear. Now, see what he says in verse 5, very carefully. He says, the blind receive their sight. Go and tell John that the blind receive their sight. Look how he says again. He says what? That the lame, they walk. He says the lepers are cleansed, the deaf they hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be what? Offended in me. Offense. Yet Jesus was still calm. He says, look at these signs. Are we together? So what is Jesus saying? To know I am the one that will take away the sins of this world, look at the signs. Do you get what I just said? What I said is a lotto. What did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world. What did he expect? What did John expect Jesus to do to prove that further? What did Jesus say? Look at these signs. These signs are the signs and the only signs you will see to show that I am he who takes away the sins of the world. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? That the blind they see, the deaf they hear. They receive their sight, the lame they walk. So what are miracles? Miracles are signs of his work. You get that? Miracles are signs of his work. So the question becomes, what are needs of signs? Why do we need signs? Or are there still signs after he has resurrected? You know why that question becomes predominant in the hearts of believers? Because you've not come to understand that signs point both to soon to come events and past events. What example can I give you? If someone comes out from an accidented car and he has a bruise on his hand, and let's say he leaves the accident scene and he goes to the police station, and the first thing he tells them is that I just came out from an accident, what will he show them? Is that a sign? Is the accident going to happen ahead? That happened. That's the closest example that just came to my mind. Right? So a lot of people begin to say, what are signs have ended? But Jesus knew what he was saying when he says, in my name, he says, this sign shall follow. This is post-resurrection teaching. He says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall. So look at Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verse 26. Look at it. And said, if thou will diligently hearken, Exodus 15:26, if thou will diligently hearken, right, to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes, I will put on of this disease upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healed thee. I am the Lord that healed thee. I am the Lord that healed them. So in the real sense, let's not do this study today, okay? So if you look at the context of 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Are we together? Are you there? Look at that now, verse 22. Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found what? So it means that the foundation of Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, has to do with they were thirsty. Can you see that? Can you see that? They found no water. Let's read 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. They could not drink. Can you see water again? Why could they not drink? For they were what? Bitter. Are we together? They were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Right? Is that function? All right, beautiful. You're following. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we what? Drink. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made what? Sweet. So when he says, I am the one that healed, what healing is he talking about? Healing of water. Are you there? Are you following? So when look at it, verse 25. Let's do 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. So look at verse 26 now, says what? And he said, if thou will diligently what? Hearken the voice of the Lord, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give it to God. I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought. So he now says, I am the Lord that what? Healeth. Now, that's where you have the word Rapha. All together. Jehovah Rapha. You have heard the word Jehovah Rapha? Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, you are my Ebenezer, you are my Adonai. We give you glory, honor, power, majesty. You are the Lord. All right, that's senior high priest. Are we together? So it says, I am the Lord that healeth. Now, the word there, Rapha, is a word that is used to speak about preservation or to embalm. So when he says, I will put none of disease upon you, it means I will take, or in the new heaven and earth, he will take away sin. I will not allow. So he's taking them to a promised land, and in that promised land, you will be away from sin. So it means that God heals our body because he's going to preserve it. Did you hear that? God will heal our physical bodies because he's going to preserve it. So you see the healing of the water, for instance, and he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Remember, he has already said none of these diseases will come upon you. Do you understand? It is if they had a disease, he would have now said, I'm the one that healed. But he said, none of this will come upon you, I am the one that heals. Does that mean none of this will come upon you because I'm the one that preserves? Do you get that? I am the Lord that healeth you, ideally should be because you're already sick. Let me just remind you, I'm the one that will heal your sickness. But he says, no, none of this will come upon you. I am the Lord that healeth. So that word there, Rapha, is a word that speaks of preservation, to embalm. You know what it means to embalm? Give me another phrase for that. To shield, to preserve, so to say. To preserve. Is that what that thing is called when you do for bodies, cups, right? What is called? And that's what it's called, empowerment, right? You preserve, right? So this disease will not come upon you. Remember, disease will now be figurative for sin. So sin has no dominion over you because you are what? Preserved. Or sin will not have any effect on you because you are away. I am the Lord that healeth. I'll get it. Now, let's pay attention to the healing in the ministry of Jesus. He's been sleep on. Are we together? Let's pay attention to a few things regarding the healing of Jesus. Now, let's look at the first mention of the word healing in the Bible. The first time mentioned is in Genesis 20. Genesis 20. Genesis 27. If you are there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, oh, for me. All right, so we're there. Genesis 27. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt what? Chaya, that's what, leave. Right? And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die. Are we together? Thou shalt surely die. Now look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God what? Healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant and the what? The bare children. So Abraham and his wife, they were in Gerar. Yeah, so they met Abimelech. You know, I know in those days, kings used to marry by sight. You know, they marry by sight. Once you see, and you've seen, that's all. Are we together? So the things your eyes see. So when you're singing that song, my eyes, they see. Let's know what you are seeing, though. We're not acting like King Abimelech. Are we together? Yeah. So, you know, today we say we walk by faith, not by sight. It's people like this that make us go there. I'm joking. Are we together? I hope you know when the Bible says for walk by faith and not by sight, it's not for a car. I think I did a study in investigative scriptures too. Yeah, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's talking about the resurrection of the immortal body. Are we together? It's not saying when you are going for a job, you don't see the CEO and you don't see the secretary. No, walk by faith. It's not by what I see at Or they send you email that they rejected you in the office. Say, I don't see this. I don't see this. They walk by faith. So we walk by faith, not by sight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, 7, 7 or 9, one of those odd numbers, right? He just speaks about how, in the real sense, should I teach that now? No. Yeah. So he just speaks about how, in the real sense, there's such a thing as the resurrection of the mortal body. Now, even though it might not look like what it is, yeah, but we don't walk based on what we see or don't see, but by faith. So walk by faith, not by sight, is about the resurrection of the mortal body and all of that. Similar to what Paul will write in 1 Corinthians and also by extension Romans. Likewise, the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmity, for no one to ask and pray. Yeah, all of those lines. Yeah. So in the real sense, look at verse 7. He now says, if you look at verse 7 very well, he says, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. But is Abimelech dead? Is that something to ponder on? He says, return his wife, and he shall pray for you, and thou shalt live. Are we together? So, Abimelech is not dead at the time. That word there, live, actually is a word that means to stay alive. Are we together? To stay alive. Look at verse 18. Or look at verse 6 before you go to verse 18. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also will tell thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Remember, in the innocence of Abimelech's heart. You know, if you look at this conversation, it almost looks like God is in support. Are we together? But remember, we said something. We said that when God is dealing in human language, he will tolerate a lot of things altogether. So it's not like God approves that as a king, you see and marry. It's just he tolerates the culture of that day altogether. Because the truth is that women were always seen as commodities. Altogether. Yeah, women were almost or usually seen as commodities, and women are actually seen as whatever you want to call it, right? So in the real sense, what was God doing to Abimelech in that dream? Preserving him. He says, return him or else you will die. You get that? And he says that if you do this, he says you will live, you shall live if you return in verse 7. So he means that healing will have to deal with living or staying alive, so to say. Now, how did you conclude in verse 17? Abraham prayed unto God and God healed. Are we together? And God healed. In the real sense, what was the warning about? If you return, you shall live. What did Abraham do in verse 17? Healed. So it means that healing is a sign, or it has something to do with life. You get that? Now, that's the first mention of the word healed in the Bible. So healing is first mentioned as a sign of being alive. Remember that? If you return, you shall live. It now tells you Abraham healed. So what does Abraham healed? It means that Abraham healed Abimelech. That means Abimelech remained what? He stayed alive. So healing is first mentioned as a sign of being alive in Bible. You shall live, to stay alive. Chaya, that's the word. And it's a word actually used for resurrection. It's a resurrectional word. If you look at Genesis 3:22 quickly. Genesis 3:22. Are you there? Are you there? Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. It says, well, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become one of us to know good and what? Evil. You know, and now let's put forth his hand and take also for the tree of life and eat and what? Chaya. That's the same word used for Abraham in Genesis 20. Yeah, to stay alive. And what? Live for what? Forever. Olam, olam. That's long duration. Are we together? So it means that in the real sense, if you look at Numbers, look at how Moses uses it again. Numbers 21:7. Never forget, it might be fulfilled, will be connecting to what? Events. So Jesus healed the sick that it might be fulfilled. Or Jesus healed the sick, that it might be fulfilled that he will bear upon himself the sickness and infirmity of us all. All together. So two events will be brought together with that phrase, it might be what fulfilled. We'll look at examples like that over and over. So look at Numbers 21:7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he might take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fairy serpent. This is what we're reading from John 14, John 3. Are we here? And said upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that beaten by it, when he looked upon it, he shall what? Chaya, shall live. Right? And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had beaten any man, when he beheld the serpent and of the brass, what happened? He lived. Are we together? He lived. So it means that healing and sickness, or rather healing, healing and life, they are related, or they have a common ground. Are we together? Are we together? Healing is a sign, because usually sickness usually takes life. Are you here? Sickness usually takes life. Is that not true? Is that not true? See, forget about the fact that we always have kata, and we just always treat it. The truth is that kata takes people's life. So what does healing? What does healing now do? Healing is now a pointer to show that you are staying alive. Are we together? So while Abimelech will be healed, it means he is staying alive. In the real sense, healing will now point to staying alive. So spiritual healing will now point to staying alive eternally. Or spiritual healing will now point to being spiritually alive forever. Or being spiritually alive, which by default is already forever. Eternal life. Eternal Zoe. Right? Remember that? The life that has no end or beginning. Are we together? So it means that there's a lot of connection done between Matthew and Isaiah, like we've been looking at, that relates to the work of Jesus in the resurrection and what? The healing of Jesus, or healing of the sick and casting out of devils by Jesus. Hallelujah. Now look at Matthew's Gospel 21. Remember John the Baptist asking for if he's the real person. What did Jesus do? Go tell him what you see and what hear about. That what? Blind see, the lame walk, and all of that. So it means that he was saying that the signs that you see and you hear about, they are signs of a future work that will be done. So it means that at that time, it wasn't of time, or the fullness of time had not come for Jesus to die and resurrect. But what will sustain him to believe that Jesus is the one that will take away sins is the signs that he will see throughout that phase, up until the fulfillment comes. Are you here? Now look at Matthew 22, 21. Matthew 21, verse 11. And what you said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them and sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold what? Doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be what? Called the house of what? Prayer. But thou hast made it a den of thieves. Now look at verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the where? Temple. And he what? He healed them. So this is to show you that God's house is for all people. This is gotten from the writings of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah again. Isaiah is a very great prophet. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, quickly. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. Are you there, Sister Willie? Are you sure? Isaiah 56. Verse 3, he says, neither let the son of stranger that had joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord had utterly separated me from his people. Is that a prophecy? Look at verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, for the son of man that layeth hold on it, and keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of stranger that had joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord had utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them, verse 5, will I give in my house, Isaiah 56, right, and within my walls, and place a name better than of the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting what? Name that shall not be what? Cut off. Now let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Right? So now remember, the blind, the lame are people who you consider as outcasts in their, okay, in their culture. Right? People who have defects are considered as outcasts. So this prophecy now says that even them will I, so I'm going to bring all to my what? Holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of what? Prayer. So is that where my house recorded, the house of prayer, gotten from in Matthew? Are you checking your Bibles? It now says that their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called house of prayer for what? Everybody. So it means that in God's house, everybody is what? Welcomed. Everybody is received. So God is the one that will qualify those who were not meant to be qualified, and he will bring them into the house. So what will he do first? The Bible tells you that the blind, the lame, they came to meet him in the temple, and he what? Healed them. So in healing them, what is he doing? He is qualifying them. Are you here? Ideally, those who have defects are considered as outcasts. So what does Jesus do when he chases the money changers? The people that were outcasts, they came to him, he healed them. In healing them, what happens? He qualifies them to be members of the, or to be able to have access to the house of prayer. Is that a sign to what he does in the resurrection? Who were in darkness, he brings us into his marvelous light by qualifying us, and he calls us, and we now have access to that his prayer temple or his house altogether. So it means that the healing of the blind and the lame is a sign that the gospel is for everybody, including the outcast. Did you get that? The healing of blind and the lame and the outcast, the deaf and all of that is a sign. So healing is a sign of God's acceptance. Write that down in your own notes. Healing is a sign of God's acceptance. Healing is a sign of God's acceptance. Healing is a sign of God's acceptance. So in God's temple, those who seemingly are not qualified or are not allowed, he made them qualified by healing their bodily ailments. So for us spiritually, what happens? He makes us qualified by healing our spiritual ailments, our sicknesses. That's what? Being wrought in sin and iniquity. Altogether. So when Isaiah now says by his stripes we are healed, Peter now gives you a cue of the, look at First Peter 2:24. Altogether, remember, the healing of Jesus or the healing ministry of Jesus is a sign of what God is what doing in the earth. That is, he qualifies the disqualified. So it means that in God's heritage or in God's land, no one will be termed disqualified. Altogether, in the temple, only those who had their 2 feet, who had everything of their body working, were qualified to be in the temple. It was a law thing, right? It was a cultural thing, so to say, right? But what does Jesus do? He takes away their body ailment to qualify them to be members. So the same thing he does for us, he qualifies us by taking away our spiritual ailments, right, and makes us to be what? His holy nation, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, the body of Christ, the church. Are we here? Don't lose me, oh. I started doing like a silly fan this time. Non-standing fan this time. Look at 2 Peter 2 verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto what? Righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Look at what it says in the next verse. 1, 2, 3, go. For ye were sheep. You are not there. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:24, quickly. 1 Peter 2:24. 1, 2, 3, go. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned back to the shepherd and bishop of our soul. So, return back to the shepherd and bishop of our soul, is that God's way of dealing with spiritual ailment and making you qualified? Do you get that, right? So physical healing deals with bodily ailment to make man qualified to enter the temple. Doctrine. Same thing. Spiritual healing deals with man's spiritual sickness, ailment, to make man enter the temple of God, which is the body of Christ, which is the church, which was the temple. Do you get that? So they were physically desegregating people. But Isaiah, my prophecy, already said that all will be welcomed in God's house. He says, so, you know, Isaiah now tells you that my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. Did we read that? It says for all people. So it means that every Dick, Tom, and Harry will be welcomed into God's vineyard, will make welcome into God's family. There will be no segregation, no separation. For we are all one. For as many of us have put on, as I believe in Christ, we are what? We have put on Christ. We are now one in Christ. There's neither male, neither female, neither blind, neither deaf. For we are all one. We are all qualified. Say, I've been made qualified to be in God's family. Say, God has qualified me and taking my sins. Say, God has qualified me and taking my sins far away from me. I am no longer a sheep going astray. I am God's sheep in God's family. I have a shepherd. I have a bishop. I have a shepherd. I have a bishop of my soul. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. So now, look at how Jesus' ministry went. Now, Bible tells you in Acts 10 verse 38, how God what? Anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went around doing good, healing them that were what? Oppressed. Altogether. So, it means that Jesus' ministry had predominantly signs to point you to a future event when he was physically on earth. That's why you now see Jesus, after the resurrection, taught for 40 days from the scriptures, and you now see so many signs following the book of Acts. Altogether, because he summarizes, Mark summarizes Mark 16 and says that these signs shall follow. They shall cast out demons. It says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall. Say we shall. Say we shall. Say I shall. And they shall recover. Say today. Say today. I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Say I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Say I believe Jesus. Say I believe Jesus. Say Jesus said so. I believe him. Say, Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus knows what he's saying. I believe him. I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you look at Jesus' ministry, he had signs and wonders, boku boku. His message was forgiveness of sins. So that means when he's loud on forgiveness of sins, it means that ideally you cannot separate the message of forgiveness of sins from sickness, bodily ailments, or bodily healing rather. Are we together? Because the sign that kept people to know, or that men were to see before the day he will resurrect, were so much. And that was all he had, so to say. Or that was what he did mostly. Such that you even see when he's teaching, people are getting healed. Let's see a few examples. Look at Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, 15, quickly. Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 15. Say, God is in me. Say, God is in me forever. Say, God is in me. You're not saying that. Say, God is in me forever. Look at Matthew 13. Are you there? Look at verse 15. Matthew 13. Look what it says there. He says, for this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be what? And should be what? Let's read verse 15 together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. For these people's hearts is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest and I should heal them all. Let me ask you this, saints. These people in Matthew 13, 15, were they physically sick? Were they physically sick? Look at it now. Look at this. It says, people's heart is... So what is it described when it says their ears, their eyes and everything? Their heart that is wax gross. You see that? So these people's heart is wax gross. What does it really mean by their heart? That is, Kai, Abby? Yes, their ears are dull of hearing. Does it mean they will not hear when you talk? They were hearing. Well, it now says their eyes have been closed. Is that how they were walking? So their eyes closed, their ears dull, is speaking about their heart waxed. You hear? He now says, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. And I should what? I should be what? Converted and what? And what? And I should heal them. The word there should heal is the Greek word iomai. Iomai. I-A-O-M-A-I. Iomai. Iomai. I-A-O-M-A-I. And it's a word that means to cure or to make whole. To cure or to make whole. So, does that statement make you see that physical healing is related to the redemptive healing? Because he uses the sickness, or what you call sicknesses, that are physical. Eyes. Are we here? Eyes, ears, right, heart. To explain heart. But in the research, he says, I should, that they should be what? Converted. And I should what? Heal them. So Matthew is showing us that what? Physical healing connects to the sacrifice of Christ, which supplies spiritual healing. Look at Matthew 8 verse 8. Matthew chapter 8 verse 8. Look at verse 6. And saying, Lord, Matthew 8, 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and what? Heal him. Now the centurion said unto him, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be what? Will be healed. Look at verse 11. He now tells you, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it will be done. Are we together? So it will be done. Now, remember, if you look at the context of this centurion guy, you know the centurion guy wasn't was he Jewish? Was he? Is it my tone you are using to answer the question? If you look at verse 14, he said, and when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. Is that Peter's mother-in-law? So it means that when you see that they left all to follow him, they didn't really leave all, abandoned everybody. Are we together? So when you marry now, you start going to mountain every day. Jesus and his disciples, they left all. For Peter to have known his mother-in-law was sick, he didn't leave all. See it in verse 14. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law sick. For Peter to be able to even bring his master into his house, it means that they had a relationship that was outside of doctrine. Are we together? Right? And he saw his wife and he sick of fever, and he touched her, fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. If you look at Matthew 15, next few chapters. Matthew 15, 28. Oh, gracious Father. Look at Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the what? House of what? Israel. So it means that Jesus comes and is a healing. He qualifies those who you call the unqualified. Are we together? He says, then came she and worshipped him and saying, Lord, help me. And as I said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And he said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou what wills. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Yeah, so when you see the use of crumbs and the use of dogs, it's used to show welcoming a people. Welcoming people into God's family. Are we together? Are we together? Welcoming and reconciliation. So those you would have called outcasts, right? So Jesus healed what you would call an outcast to show that in the supernatural healing, outcasts are welcomed. Look at Luke 5:17. Luke 5:17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, and which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was what? Power of the Lord was what? So when God's word is taught concerning forgiveness of sin, the power of God is what? Ready to heal. Are we together? That's why there sometimes you be on that meetings and you just get see people are healed without hands being laid on them. God's word is powerful enough to heal. Are we together? So when forgiveness of sin is taught, there's a sign that follows that says, oh, so when you see people listen and get healed when forgiveness of sin is taught, it's a sign to show that, oh, forgiveness of sin is the message that heals people spiritually. Are we here? So when Jesus was teaching, he says the power of God was present to heal. Say, the power of God is present to heal when God's word is taught. And behold, men brought in a bed of a man, or in a bed of a man that was taken up with palsy. Palsy was a common illness they had in their time. Right? And they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up through the what? Housetop, and let him down through the ceiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, 20 now says what? And when he saw their what? Faith. He said unto them, man, thy sins are what? Forgiving. So there's a relationship between faith. Listen to me, everyone. There's a relationship between faith and physical healing. You get that? And there's also a relationship between faith and what? Spiritual healing. Now, what did Jesus see with those brothers? He saw their faith. What did he say? What did he say? Their sins are what? Forgiving thee. Are we together? What did he say? What were those people looking for? Sins to be forgiven. Physical healing for palsy now. What did he say when he saw their faith? So there's a relationship between physical healing and spiritual healing. Are we together? In fact, let me say this, you know. When a man believes God's faithfulness in the resurrection, by default, is a default man of faith. Are we together? There's nobody here who is not a man of faith. There's not a believer who is not a man of faith. That's why you don't lend your words to fear. You don't lend your words to trouble. You don't lend your words to things that come towards you or things that life throws at you. You don't lend your words to worry. You don't lend your words to fear. You lend your words to God. You lend your words to God's power. Say, God lives in me. I can heal the sick. Say, God lives in me. I can heal the sick. Say, God lives in me. I can heal the sick. So he saw their faith and he said, your sins are forgiven. Are we together? See what he says in verse 21. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, ah, who is this one? We speak a blasphemy. What is the blasphemy? Your sins are forgiven. Right? He says, who can forgive sins but God alone? Hallelujah. So when you see Jesus stand in the place of God to say your sins are forgiven, it's similar to what we can do in his stead. That's why Jesus now tells you in John 20, he says, whoever sin you what? Remit shall be what? Remitted. And whosoever sin you what? Retain shall be retained. So you have the authority in God's name to tell man that your sins are forgiven. Just the same way you have the authority in God's name to tell man that you are healed. Are we together? Are we together? You have the authority in God's name to tell a man that your sins are forgiven. Same way you have the authority in God's name to say what? You are healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise Jesus. So they were asking a question. Who is this blasphemous person? How will he say, who has the power to forgive sins? Now see what it says in verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, what are they perceiving? Is that discern? It's discernment, right? Yeah. So when he say perceive, don't think of nose. Are we together? He perceived their thoughts. I perceive. You know, even Paul uses that same phrase. I perceive. Yeah. You know, I know. Yeah, just I discern. So you say, man can choose to communicate what he perceives. Let me say it this way. Man can choose what language he wants to use to communicate what he discerns. That's why some people will say, I sense. Some people say, he dropped in my spirit. Some people say, he dropped in my heart. Some people say, he came to me strong like a rushing mighty wind. Some people say, I heard a loud voice. Everything is just what discernment. So Jesus discerned their thoughts and said what? He now says, he answering unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk. What is he saying? Which is easier? Rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven. Which is easier now? Rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven. Eh? Rise up and walk is easier. Which is easier? Rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, yeah, answer like members of a church. Answer like hungry people. Which one is easier? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Your sins are forgiven, rise up and walk. It's easier as a phrase. I would get that. But that's to show you that they are linked. Do you understand? Look at it. Jesus never in that conversation said, rise up and walk. It was in his interrogation of their thoughts. He said, rise up. So that means it's expected that they would have thought, or they wanted to hear him say, rise up and walk. Not your sins are forgiven. But instead of saying what they would have heard, and you still get the healing, what did he say? Your sins are forgiven. So it means that your sins are forgiven has a relation or a relationship or is related to what? Rise up and walk, or you are healed, or be healed. All together. So physical healing will point to spiritual. Say physical healing points to supernatural healing. Say my sins are forgiven. I have the indwelling of the Spirit. Are we together? You know, it's interesting how Luke writes this thing, because you know Luke was a doctor. You know, Luke was a doctor, and he was a very intelligent doctor, so to say. You know, so he would carefully write. So it means that you should listen to a doctor when he talks about healing sermons. Altogether, you should listen to a doctor when he talks about healing. You should pay attention to his words. Altogether. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. So does the Great Commission include healing the sick? Is the Great Commission limited to healing the sick? You get that, right? The Great Commission is not limited to healing the sick, but what includes healing the sick? I'll say one more time. The Great Commission is not limited to healing the sick, but it includes healing the sick. So it means healing the sick is a part. Altogether, healing the sick is related. So healing the sick is a pointer. Yeah, but to us now, healing the sick is no longer a pointer to a future event. Are we? Because we're not looking for Christ and the resurrection again. The resurrection is behind us. Are we together? So healing the sick today is a sign. So when you get somebody healed today, what happens? It's a pointer to what you have believed, what you've received. Are we together?
Yes,
look at James 5. James 5:13. So, does healing in the name of Jesus point us to the fact that Jesus carries the sin of the world? Does it point? Did Jesus go to the cross carrying malaria on his body? Did he carry cancer on his body? But in the resurrection, is that a pointer, or does healing of sick seem as, or serve to us as a pointer or a sign to what he did on the cross? Beautiful. Like I said over and over again, right? If Jesus bore headache on the cross, it's a crime for you to be a believer and have headache. Altogether, it's a crime. So physical healing is proof that my body. Now, let me say this a step further, but we'll look at it next year. So, whilst physical healing today is a pointer of the sign that is in our past, is also a pointer of the sign that is in our future. What is that pointing to? The resurrection of our body. But let's leave it for this year. Let's leave it here. Okay? Whilst it's a sign that points to that redemption we receive, the resurrection, the healing of forgiveness of our sins, yeah, it's a pointer to the resurrection and the healing of our body. Are we together? So we've seen healing. We're in James 5. Is any among you sick? Let him pray. Is any, is that afflicted? Is that physical? Is that physical? Is that physical? Dear saints, are we here? Where are we reading? James 5 what? Oh yeah, look at your Bible. James 5, 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. Is that physical sick? And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he be committed sin, they shall be what? Can you see how he links physical sickness to forgiveness of sins? Now look at verse 16, 1, 2, 3, go. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be what? Healed. What does healing mean? Healing. So now healing, in that phrase, is that sickness? Is that sickness? So that is that reconciliation? Restitution, like restoring relationships that were broken. So we've seen healing used for physical healing. Even in the same James 5, if you're afflicted, go and pray and whatever. Lay anointing oil, or lay oil rather. Right, you know, the use of oil there is not what we use for anointing oil today. Oil was a medicinal, you know, now medicine has improved. I was guessing, so you have diverse kinds of drugs, but in those days, oil was used for so many medical cure and all of that. Right, so we've seen healing as a word used for physical sickness. Is that true? Another one, spiritual sickness. Another one, restoration amongst what people. So when it says confess your fault one to another that you might be healed. He's not saying, well, yeah, say, go and confess. Hey, it's like I stole money. He's like, I did not sign very well. He's like, I did not approve this thing. Oh, I did not approve this man's leave. Oh, hey, that's my fault. Oh, maybe that. Then when Nana finished just saying it, wow, I'm revitalized. I'm rejuvenated. I'm rejuvenated. He's not like that. I want to get that. So confess your sins that we healed, so that if we have any strained relationship, any faulty relationship, will restore it back. So healing used for restoration, healing used for sickness, physical healing used for what? Spiritual sickness. Are we together? Now let's now pray into going to the integrity of what we are learning. Who said wow there? Who said wow? Let me chase you home. So let's go into what. Are you born again like this? You see, there's long suffering in your heart. You've received it in the resurrection. So let's go into very important things for this evening. Now, it will interest you to know that in the four gospels there was no teaching on healing. Please write that in your notes. There was no healing or no teaching on healing. What I mean, no teaching, no doctrinal teaching on healing. But Jesus might have had commentaries on healing, but no explanation. There will be commentaries here and there, but there's no explanation, no didache, no doctrine on healing, so to say. So what I mean is that there was no particular healing teaching seminar, so to say. Are we together? Whilst you have commentaries, but people were healed when they heard him. Are we together? Which now leads us back to that scripture where we read that what when he was reading Luke 5, when he was preaching, the power of God was what? Readily available to heal. Are we together? So it means that when you have a sign, I wrote this way. I said, a sign must be or will be a sign of a message, and it will contain an event. It can contain an event, or can be about a place or a person. Signs will be about message, might contain events or have to do with events, deal with a place or a person. So it means that if, now, did Jesus teach in parables? A lot, right? So if Jesus taught a lot in parables, and while teaching a lot in parables, people were healed. Are we together? It means that a good number of his parables had to do with healing, without physically mentioning healing. Let me say it again. Jesus spoke in parables, agreed. Taught in parables, agreed. A lot of his parables, so it is in those parables you'll be saying that people will listen to him teaching, uttering dark sayings of old, right? And when they listened to him, they got healed. So it means that what he was saying had a power to heal. So it means that God's word, when presented to man, has a power to heal as a sign to show what it has the real power to do. Which is what? Forgive man of what? Sins. Look at Luke 7. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees described or desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and that is to eat. Look at 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of what? Ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with what? Tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that what? Touched him. For she is a what? Sinner. And Jesus answered said unto him, saying, what? Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Says there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other how many? 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon, is it parable? Simon answered and said unto him, I suppose that he to whom was forgiven most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Are we here? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint. So he was telling Peter what he did not do, and telling Peter what the bigger woman, the other woman did. He said, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are what? Are what? Forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same loveth little. Are we together? And he said unto her, thy sins are what? Forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he said to the woman, thy faith at what? Save thee. Go in peace. Your faith saved you. That word there, faith, is the word zozo. Yeah, go in peace. That word there, peace, is the word shalom. And it means completeness. So forgiveness, is that, it says your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. That means go completed. Or go in completeness. Or go whole. So it means that forgiveness and salvation and completeness, they are all in the same family. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So it means that in God's forgiveness, in God's salvation plan, which is the offering of forgiveness to mankind, there is an ability, or there is that part, or there is that ability for physical sicknesses to be taken care of. All together, look at Mark 16, verse 20. Mark 16:20. Are you there? Are you there? Mark 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached. Remember, this is an offtake of what? Go into the world and preach. In my name they shall what? Cast out demons, and this time shall follow. Now look at verse 19. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth. Let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So one of the ways God confirms his word is through what? Signs following. Are we together? So God's word was confirmed with signs following. So today we are primarily going to tell people their sins are forgiven, but you know, to also show that God forgives sins. Are we together? You are not sick because you sinned. Are we together? But you are healed because God forgives. You didn't get that. You are not sick because you sinned, but you are healed to show, or because God forgives. Are we together? So the sign that God is a healer is a pointer to the reality that God is a healer. You get that? The sign that God is a physical healer is a pointer to the reality that God is a spiritual what? Healer of sickness. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2:38. Are you there? Are you there? Dear saints, are you there? Acts 2 what? Look at what it says. It says what? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of what? Jesus Christ. For what? Remission of sins. And you shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look at 43. He now says what? And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Is that many wonders or signs that confirm the message of verse 38? What is verse 38 message? Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, that remission of sins may be yours. What now followed? Is that a fulfillment of Matthew 16, 28 and 20? When it says God's word was now confirmed with what? Signs. Are we here? Lovely. Look at Acts 3, next chapter. Acts 3, 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and work. Now we've explained this over time, that this is the working of miracle. Altogether, the work, the miracle. What's working? So there's a gift of there's healing and working of miracles, right? We said that. There's healing of what? You have sickness in your body, be healed. There's working of miracles. Maybe you have, maybe your hand is broken, for instance, or your eye is not seeing, or let's say your hand usually, or like this guy that was lame. Right, and whilst he says, "Oh, receive the healing," what happened? He supported him and lifted him and said, "What? Rise up and walk." Now, remember, healing is a sign that God forgives. Are we together? So, we're going to be sure to tell men that God has forgiven them their sins, and will give them a sign to prove that God has forgiven them their sins by what? Supplying healing to their bodily ailments. Are we together? So, anybody you get healed today, try as much as possible to make sure that the end goal is achieved, which is what? You tell them how their sins have been forgiven and let them receive the Holy Ghost. Praise Jesus. Say, I have it. Say, I have the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the what? Presence of the Lord. So that means the gospel is not come and be healed. Are we here? But the gospel is come and be healed. You get that, right? The gospel is not come and be healed, but the gospel is come and be healed. So whilst we say come and be healed, whilst we say come and be healed, we can say come and be healed. Did you get that? The gospel is not come and be healed. Are we together? The gospel is what? Come and be healed. Whilst we say come and be healed, we can tell men come and be healed. Let me explain it. I'm just saying the same thing. Right? The gospel is not come and receive healing for malaria. The gospel is come and receive forgiveness of what? Sins. Whilst we do that, we can say come and receive healing from malaria. So we have two things to give. Remitting of sins, remission of sins, and what? Remission of healing. Or what? Supply of healing. How it's together. So how do we go about healing? You ask people what part of their body is paining them, for instance, and where they want to be healed. Are we together? We ask people where they want to be healed. We ask people what part of their body is paining them, for instance, and we minister God's word. Who is sick here? Let's use an example. Who has any ailment or anything here that wants to be healed of? Let's start there. Anybody going through any serious, severe pain, any complex pain, and all of that? Let's have that. Anybody? So we are all people who are healed, going out to get people healed. So when you see someone who is sick, for instance, you know, one of the easiest ways to get people healed, right? Always make sure you stay in faith. Believe in God's mighty power in you. Believe in God's ability in you. Remind yourself that you're God's power. You're God's powerhouse. Say, I'm God's powerhouse. Say, I'm God's powerhouse. Say, I can heal the sick. Hallelujah. Right? So you might not necessarily go around going to lay hands on people's head, which I usually don't advise when you go out on the streets. Are we together? You know, but you can lay hands on people's shoulder. Lay hands on them. You can hold them as a point of contact. The idea is just to make a point of contact with them. Right? And you can also hold hands for people who are not there. Are we together? You can lay hands on people who are not there, or on behalf of people who are not there. You know what I mean? And you see, a lot of times you can even bring out some healing cases through word of knowledge. Are we together? You can sense people who are healed, and you can sense people who are healed. I can remember a couple of times, you know, a couple of times where, you know, you get to walk out with people and you tell people, oh, you know, I remember meeting one guy and I was asking him, are you sick? I just want to lay hands on you. And he said, no, I'm not sick. So I think he got scared, and maybe I look like an herbalist or something. I don't know what I wore that day. You know, what I just told him, I said, you have a back pain that you've been suffering with for so and so many years. And he had walked out actually on me. Genesis. I said, yeah, you have a back pain, you're walking around. So in my head, in my mind, I didn't say you are healed, but I didn't see what he would say. So you know, in that kind of, you want to take your next step, and it's as if they gum your leg to the floor. He now came back, and I said, oh yes, I saw it by the Spirit, right? So I laid hands on him, and I asked him to explain what kind of pain he is, and he said he can't bend back, can't bend forward. You know, I just laid hands on his shoulder, and he got healed. You see, God's power can flow through laying hands on any part of anybody's. In fact, God's power can flow through words. You can look at someone and say, be healed, and that's all. All together. There are some healings you will do by saying, be healed. There are some you will do by saying, be healed. There are some you will do by jacking up and saying, be healed. All together. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? It's God's power. Yeah, you see, God's power is readily available in you. Right, you've received of God's word today already, and you know what you have. That means you know that you have the power of the Holy Ghost. Just remind yourself. You see, now one thing you must understand when it comes to healing is that there's such a thing called progressive healing and instant healing. Are we together? And this is not just a way of just trying to bamboozle you. Anybody you pray that they know you, just say everybody well like that. It's gradual. It's progressive healing. No, but the truth remains that there are those that Jesus will look at and mix spit and heal. There are those who he will heal and he will say, go wash yourself. There are those who he will heal and say, go show yourself. All together. But the fact is that God's power is always readily available to heal. Now, the proof that it is readily available to heal is a proof or a sign that God is always readily available to forgive the sins of any man. Are we together? So, what do you do when you go in the street? Yeah? So, remember, it's not your prayer. Peter in Acts chapter 3 was going to the temple in the hour of prayer. Acts 3, Peter and John, right? And they met a man who was lame from birth, right? They didn't have to pray. They were going to pray. They were going for their designated time for prayer. But the truth is that Peter would seem to be a man who was a man of prayer. Always a man of prayer. Are we together? Yeah. So when you get on the streets today, don't condemn yourself and say, I've not prayed for so and so many hours. Hey, I've not done so much. I've not built up myself in the holy faith. No. What you need to heal the sick is that which you already have, which is the Spirit of God. Yeah, that which you received in the resurrection is enough to heal all the sick. You know, one man on earth that has the Spirit of God can heal everybody on earth. Are we together? One man on earth that has the Spirit of God can heal everybody on earth. Yeah, what will be his limitations? The fact that he is in the flesh and he will need to rest the body.